And we're finishing up today, and I'm not going to keep you really long. It's been a long weekend, but I do want to conclude with Jesus' prayer from the upper room. I don't know about you, but when I pray, it's typically, God, I want you to take me out of the mess. I'm going through a really difficult time. I want you to take me out of it. Because I don't like discomfort. I've found that out in some races that I signed up for. I like the idea of being able to say I ran a marathon a lot more than I like training and actually running a marathon. I like the idea of having my master's of divinity a whole lot more than I liked going to Hebrew from 6 to 9 p.m. every Monday night for a year. I liked it a whole lot better saying I've done this than actually the discomfort of doing it. Because I don't like those places. I don't like discomfort. I don't like the uncertainty. And I'm fascinated with Jesus' prayer. He says in John 17, verse 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and your word, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. And then he says this, my prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. Jesus praying for his disciples, for his followers, says, my prayer isn't that, God, that you would pull them out of the mess and out of the discomfort and out of the hard times. My prayer is that you would leave them in it so that they can reflect my light to this world. I want you to leave them in the world, but I want you to protect them from the evil one. I've started praying that a lot for my children. God, I want you to protect them from the evil one. Every morning I drop Caleb off at school, and I have about a 10 or 15 minute drive back across town where I pray with my eyes closed. And that's kind of become the heart of my prayer for my kids. Father, protect them from the evil one. God has placed us here for a purpose and for a reason. And Kyle alluded to it a while ago when we were talking about fostering, that we are going to engage our neighbors, that we're going to love our neighbors well, because the hope is that the world would see the goodness of our God through our lives. And so he prays that we would be protected, not pulled out. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. And my guess is that word sanctified, maybe if you're not a theologian, it kind of scares you a little bit. We don't really know what it means. But it means to be set apart for a purpose. In the Old Testament, things were sanctified. It meant they were set apart. People, places, times, right? This is the Sabbath day. And you're going to remember it, and we're going to make it holy. It was sanctified. It was set apart for a specific purpose for God. And so he says, I want these people who follow me, who bear my name, to be sanctified, set apart for my purpose in this world. Now, as I said earlier, my prayer is not typically, Father, I want you to protect me in this world. It's, I want you to pull me out of the mess. I don't want to go through the difficult times. I don't want to go through the difficult days. Right? And as a church, I think we could probably all say yes, amen to that. Because these last several weeks, even this last year, has been a really, really difficult year here for our family. A lot of ups and downs. And my prayer through this has been, God, I want you to take these people out of the pain and out of the mess. And as I was talking to Mike Warner earlier this morning, one of the things that we kind of latched onto and started talking about is how much we grow through those incredibly difficult times. Because here's the thing. As you look back at those times in your life, and I would imagine every one of us, myself included, would say, I don't want to go back and experience that and walk through that again for a million years. I wouldn't want anyone to go back and have to experience that and walk through that. I would, not even my enemy, I would never want that. But what I have seen in myself is it's those times that have truly solidified who I am in Christ. And I think it's because in those times, we have this sense of, I can't do this on my own. We're truly incapable. And it brings that realization to the forefront of our mind that we can't do this. God, we are nothing without you. We need you. We need to lean into Jesus like never before. And where I am in my journey of faith is because it's shaped by those moments that I would never want to experience again. But what Jesus has conveyed over and over to his disciples through this discourse in the upper room, if you've noticed, if you paid attention to it, it's not that I'm going to leave you alone and I'm not going to pull you out with me. But I'm going to send my presence to be with you in a very real, tangible way in the mess. You're going to walk into the darkness every single day as a light. And the world is not going to understand. He says earlier, the world might hate you because of it. But it's through being set apart for his purpose. He says that the world will see you. Right? And that's, I think, the importance of sanctification. Because holiness isn't just separation. It's being set apart for a sacred purpose. It's having a reason for being. It's having a testimony to say, yes, we've been through the difficult, we've been through the hard times, but God was right by our side in the midst of those difficult days, and he carried us through. Listen, I think one of the most powerful forms of evangelism, it's not going from door to door, it's not going one-on-one, it's bringing people right here into the midst of this and allowing them to experience what we experienced yesterday. Right, Keith? It's allowing them to experience what the body of Christ really looks like. Because we can explain it to them intellectually. But what happens right here is their heart, their mind, their soul is transformed, convinced and convicted by Christ in their midst. I think it is the most powerful form of evangelism. Just simply invite someone. Invite a friend. Come join us. Come join us. I want you to see what Jesus looks like in flesh and blood. Because I believe he's here in our midst. I believe this is the most powerful voice of the church. This community of saints, this community of believers that says, yes, this world is hard, and this is not how I wanted life to go, and this is not what I was expecting, but Jesus has been present through his body, and he has been present with his believers. It is the most powerful word we have. And then he goes on to say this, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us. Now listen to this. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. His prayer is that we would be sanctified, we'd be set apart for his purpose, and that we would find our unity in that purpose. Not that we would find our unity in what we thought or what we believed, but in our purpose of serving Christ together as his body. And in that unity, in that togetherness, in that community, he says the world will know that you belong to me and that I have sent you. In that unity, they will see God's goodness. I would say we got to see just a glimpse of it this weekend. We got to see a glimpse. Could you imagine if that's what this church looked like every single day of the week? Not just here within these walls, but in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, in the hospital, in the schools, in the grocery stores, in the park. If they could just catch a glimpse of the goodness of our God through our life, then they would know that we are the body of Christ. Because that is the most tangible and visible expression of Christ in this world today. His body. Especially when we live like it. Especially when we live as if we are one. Not divided, not fighting, not bickering, but leaning into one another, resting in the Spirit of Christ, and being a light into this world. Could you imagine if our prayers change from God, take us out of this mess, into God, be present in the mess? And don't just simply allow me to make it through the mess. Transform me for your purposes and for your good in the midst of it. I imagine this world would see a difference. More importantly, I know this community would notice. Right? Our prayer as a church is that we would be a place that the community around us would be devastated if our doors closed tomorrow. That our community would look and say, how are we going to make it if Shiloh Road is not here? Could you imagine a church that was such an integral part of their community, that was so important to the life of the city, that they simply said, we couldn't do life without them? It begins here. It begins here with our oneness, with our unity together as the body of Christ. And it flows out into this community every single day. Jesus tells his disciples, you are the light of the world. Go and be what God has already declared you are. Father, we thank you so much for this time. God, we are grateful to gather. We are thankful for your presence in this place. And Father, so often my prayer is, take me out of the discomfort. But Father, please, through the discomfort, allow us to sense your presence and transform us in it. Make us more like Jesus, our Lord. We pray in His name. Amen.